Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us today on This Needs to Be Said. Our friend, Attorney Peter Daigle, is here today to talk with us about coming to terms with bankruptcy. Before he gets started, I want you all, each time he comes on the show, to make notes, because even if you don't need the information now, you have heard enough talk about it as an option to reset your life that you'll have these notes to go back to immediately. It's like preparing for a fire. You do a fire drill every month, or you should, so that when it happens, there's no panicking. Everyone knows what to do. So when you find yourself in a financial fire, you know exactly what steps to take. At this time, I want to welcome Peter to the conversation. Hey, Peter, how are you?
Hey, Catherine. Nice to have you. Nice to speak to you again. Thank you.
Always a good time we have. So you're talking about coming to terms with bankruptcy today. So I've already told everyone to take their pen and paper out so they can take notes. I have mine out. I'm ready. What do you have for us?
All right, so here we go. So, you know, bankruptcy is really smart public policy because it's been shown in the past to save marriages, you know, free income for the support of children, prevent, you know, tremendous anxiety and mental stress, and also to reduce homelessness, so people that just can't afford to pay their home and their credit card debt. And it also now enables them to become consumers again because you're contributing to a healthy economy. So when the bankruptcy is over, you'll go back to spending money on food, clothes, rent, and other necessities for your family rather than giving all your disposable income to interest, late fees, and penalties. Now, most people come to bankruptcy to the realization that they need it for a number of reasons. The number one reason that we see a lot of is medical expenses. It's actually shown nationally that's one of the leading causes. It is the leading cause of bankruptcy, that there's some type of a condition that's occurred in the family and the insurance doesn't cover it. And so, you know, the family or the individual is having to go out of pocket for a lot of expenses, and that's, you know, taking of savings. They've had to use credit cards, and they've not been able to recover from that medical expense. The second reason that we see a lot, too, is a job loss. You know, from a layoff, someone's been terminated, resigned, or even retired. We see a lot of that also. They're not able to live on Social Security. And, you know, some folks have been able to get severance packages, but a lot of people just are terminated or lose their job with little or no notice. And a lot of people don't have emergency funds because they've used all their disposable income to support their children or live. And so when it, you know, when the music stops, so to speak, and there's no job, they can't afford to keep servicing their credit card debts and the like. So that's the second reason how we see a lot of folks coming is because of a job loss. The third reason we're seeing is divorce and separation. It's real tough because a lot of families are on the edge anyway, and they're relying on both of income in the family to let's say, to row the boat, so to speak, and move it forward. And yet, without one person there, it's difficult. Never mind the legal fees that are incurred, and the two, you know, having two homes to support from a divorce or a separation. But we see it as a loner enough to put people over the top. And then one person is usually end up having to pay child support, for, you know, which is right, and alimony. And so, again, there's just little or no money left over to pay the other bills. The other reason is we're still seeing some leftover from the real estate crisis back in 08. A lot of homes are still underwater. People had signed up for loan modifications, couldn't afford them, second mortgages, and they've lost them. So there's still some follow-up from that. And the final thing we sort of see people for is just some unforeseen event. I mean, we've had identity theft, you know, a flood in their home, a fire, you know, just some kind of unforeseen event that they just hadn't expected that's come about them, and then it's caused this problem. So, you know, if this has happened to you and you find yourself in debt, you know, you got to give yourself a break. I mean, you realize that these circumstances that I just told you, a lot of them weren't foreseen. And so you've got to just realize that these credit card companies have offered easy credit and high limits and, you know, outrageous interest and at high fees. And so, therefore, you know, don't feel so bad for them that you're, you know, not paying them. So don't waste any time on that. You know, don't be concerned that your friends or family are going to know that you filed. It's a public record in that it'll show up in your credit report, and if someone really wanted to go look at the bankruptcy court, they could find you, but you can't find it on Google. Nobody gets notice. The only people that get notice are those individuals that you list on your bankruptcy, like MasterCard, Visa, and Capital One, but the rest of them wouldn't know. So if this is something that's troubling you, you know, find a good bankruptcy attorney. Most bankruptcy attorneys offer empathy and encouragement and let them know that they're going to be in a safe environment, that the conversations are confidential and nobody will know. And then just coping with your negative feelings, just, you know, it's tough, obviously. Nobody wants to have financial troubles, but the financial distress of not filing leads to insomnia, depression, anxiety, you know, shame, or even just having relationship problems. So once you get beyond that and realize that there is hope, you know, with a fresh start, you know, and you're not bogged down in the emotional trap of shame, you'll be fine. I mean, lots of famous people, Lincoln, Grant, Henry Ford, you know, Mark Twain, Walt Disney, they've all had to file bankruptcy. So you're not alone, and that you're in good, you know, you're in company with people who have made a success for themselves. So, you know, when it's all over, you're going to stand up, dust yourself off, and then just decide if there was something you could have done differently throughout the process, you can do it. Otherwise, just, you know, get your fresh start and get on with your life, you know.
I like a lot of what you said, and I'm taking notes as you go. I was trying to be quiet to make sure I didn't interrupt anything. So
yeah.
I hope that didn't throw you off. I know normally
I'm in there.
But you talk about bankruptcy, and you may have said this before, but I am not certain. You said that bankruptcy could have saved marriages. Now,
right.
I'm like, what? Save a relationship? And it makes sense, because when I talk with people, attorneys, about divorces, one of the number one reasons people get divorced is finances.
Right.
So it's just, it fits together.
Right. It's so sad.
You gave us reasons why, you know, we may find ourselves in these situations. You told us, you know, listen, don't bog yourself down with, you know, worrying about who you owe. You need to reset yourself. Worrying about it isn't going to fix the problem.
Right.
So, as we are preparing ourselves for when life happens, when a hardship will come, I think we need to have a card with your name on it, like an emergency card, you know, break glass in the case of emergency type of thing.
Yeah, right.
so that we know, because and I said it in the beginning, and I'm guilty of it too, skipping out on, you know, doing the fire drill because I know how to get out of the house. Well, do you? Because we hadn't role play, well, what if the fire is here or there? So the same thing with our finances. What if the fire in our finances is here, you know, and it's causing a divide in my relationship? If it's causing me now not to be able to send money for my children who I have to pay child support for, or whatever the hardship is that we're facing. And I know that we as humans think that if I live very carefully and I do all the right things, that none of this should ever apply to me. However, bad things happen to good people, so how do we prepare? So will you go back, like, give me an emergency. I'm calling Peter. It's a fire in my finances. So what should that card look like?
well,
your
let me
name,
my contact,
get me out of trouble.
So it's Peter Daigle, and it's my direct line is 508-771-7444. And if you go on Google, and you can Google me on the Daigle Law Office, you can contact me through the website. You can order a free book. You can look at a lot of the videos and blogs that I have posted. So anything you ever want to know is going to be found on my website. So feel free to go through it. If you want to talk to me further, you can contact me through the website or through the phone number that I gave you.
Absolutely. And while this may seem like we are repeating some things, we're not, Peter. We're not. It's like reading, this would be our bankruptcy Bible. So we're reading
right.
it, and something in it is going to be new to us each time because you didn't consider it, because you don't yet find yourself in this situation. Or if you are, how close are you to, you know, being able to contact someone? Like, are you too late? Did you miss a deadline? And a lot of this stuff you answer every time you come on the show so that people can prepare themselves. They know someone. They can now say, I know someone who can share this information. Hearing your voice repeatedly is going to establish trust. We look forward to our friend coming and sharing with us. Because in the beginning, I have to be honest with you, bankruptcy was a bad word for me. So it was a challenge for me to take on, you know, sitting down with you to ask these questions. Because I have filed a bankruptcy in my past, and it was unpleasant, and I was nervous. And not that the attorney was mean or anything, but I felt bad. Everything that you've discussed with the audience, I felt bad. I just felt, why did I get myself in this situation? If you do the right things, if you're careful in life, you do what you're supposed to, you wouldn't be in a situation. And that was part of my upbringing. So when you began talking with us a couple of years ago, that was one of the things that people face. It was how they raised, their beliefs, their background, whether it's religion or their, you know. So people have these things that hang them up, and it's like, Peter, I hear you, and I have heard you. And like today you said, it could save a marriage, and I've never been married, and I'm scratching my head like, wow, how many people know this, you know? So the more I hear it, I'm more comfortable, I'm more confident in saying, if I find myself in a situation, I don't have to feel like I did something wrong. It's not saying that you didn't, but it's not necessarily saying that you did. Sometimes that juggling act that we have to take on in life, you drop a few balls, and that's what bankruptcy is. Like, I'm able to make an analogy of it where it's not as terrifying, and I know that that's what you do for the This Needs to Be Said audience when you come and you share things with us. So I don't want you to ever get tired of repeating yourself, because people are, you're up against many, many years of people's beliefs and upbringing and, you know, shaming and being disappointed. And, you know, what if this is one more thing in my life that I find that I'm disappointing someone on? I don't want to go through with it. I'd rather just, you know, suck it up. I deserve to be, you know, handled like this with life. And that's the hard way to look at it, when there are ways to reset. And I love that you use, you know, entrepreneurs that everyone knows. And we know that we know the history now because we're many years after their successes, but we also did not know about, you know, their failures or their reset. So that was good, and it makes a connection. So I'm saying all of this to say thank you personally, and I don't want you to ever get tired of sharing the information okay. with us, really, because you could share it with me and we have a good, you know, interaction, but then I find myself in trouble. And then I forget everything that you shared with me because I haven't embraced it, because your teaching is going up against 40 years of, I don't want to make my mama upset, or I don't want to disappoint my children. Or, you know, that when someone comes to sit with you outside of this radio show, outside of, you know, going to your website, when they come and sit with you, that's a, you know, a small amount of time. So every visit they have with us on this radio show, they can say, okay, I'm virtually sitting in the office with Peter, and he's explaining to me, he's educating me. Because when you're nervous, it's really hard to make really good, clear decisions. And especially if I waited till the last hour to ask for your help, you know. So all of these things, you're empowering us to be equipped to make the good decision when the time comes. I know what to do in case of a fire. I know what to do in case of, you know, a financial burden. So this is a huge thank you to you. Thank you for continuing to come to bring this information.
So and you're welcome. I'll keep weaving some of these principles into all of our talks because, again, like you said, it's just something that needs to be heard over and over again. You know, not don't feel shame. You know, just you know.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad we're here. I feel like we're just hanging out on the phone, just me and you.
I know, right?
But I know that we're sharing this information with a group of people, but that's how comfortable you've made me. So I want to say thank you.
Well,
and
great.
I know that in case of trouble, I have someone to get in touch with.
That's fantastic.
So
great.
I think
thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. So until next time, have a wonderful day, Peter. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.